Good morning and welcome to you all again. Thank you for being a part of our worship this Sunday, as we do worship online as well as in person every Sunday. You know, the news is not something I find myself spending a lot of time reading or watching because honestly, it's all bad news anymore. And maybe all news has always been bad news, but it seems like what is presented to us today is oftentimes so far beyond our ability to control that it almost feels as though I would be better off not knowing. One of those things that's been happening recently, and we've begun hearing about it, several months ago, but lately it has become fairly epidemic, and that is the problem of shipping. That all of these container ships, hundreds of container ships, are gathered around the United States ports, unable to unload. Shortage of dock workers, shortage of truck drivers, shortage of people working in the various different warehouses. We simply don't have the supply chain anymore to do the commerce we used to do. And there have been so many news reports come out warning us about Christmas. Christmas this year is going to be ruined, they tell us, because no one's going to be able to buy stuff for Christmas. Christmas is canceled. Christmas is destroyed. Christmas is delayed. And every time I watch one of these various different programs, I think to myself, what Christmas are they talking about? Because my Christmas, the Christmas I celebrate, certainly we have presents, and that's a marvelous tradition. We have Christmas ham, and we have Christmas eggnog, and we have Christmas trees, and we have all of those Christmassy things. But none of those things, of course, define Christmas for those of us who are Christians. We define Christmas based on our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And, well, frankly, that particular delivery wasn't delayed. It happened 2,000 years ago, and it happened exactly on time. And so, no matter what happens to the container ships out in the ocean, we know that our Christmas is thoroughly safe. And so, it begs the question, will the real Christmas please stand up? And, of course, as Christians, seeing as how Christ Mass, the Mass to celebrate Christ, is sort of in the name, it would beg to be said that ours is the real Christian Christmas. And that those who are celebrating secular Christmas are celebrating a phony, a stand-in, a fake. Now, it may be hard to identify the difference between those two, although every time some news commentator says, because we can't get stuff, Christmas is ruined, it's kind of easy to see where the fake is. The fake and the real. I want to talk to you all a little bit about the fake and the real today, because in today's story, a very important thing happens in the gospel lesson. And that is not just that there's a man who is healed of his infirmity of being blind, and that's important. And it's an important man who is healed of being blind. It is worth noting that the gospels go out of their way to identify not only that this man's name was Bartimaeus, but to identify his father's name. Why? Why do we need to know this man's lineage when almost no other place, when Jesus heals someone or casts out a demon, do they tell us, oh, this person is Jack, Frank's son. So why do they tell us this is Bartimaeus? Well, I think one of the answers that the early church had for this question, and it's a good answer, is that Bartimaeus was somebody that people knew. That he was a part of the early church, maybe even an important part. Because we know that when Bartimaeus is given his vision back, he gets up and immediately follows Jesus. He becomes a part of the church. And as far as we know, he was an important enough part of the church that they left his name in so that when people heard the story about the blind man who received his vision back and his name was Bartimaeus, people would say, I've heard of that guy. I know that guy. That guy was part of this church or that church or did this or did that. Wow, what a great story to connect. I didn't know that Bartimaeus' life started that way. So it's an important fact that his name was Bartimaeus. Now, this is all supposition, but it's a good guess. But that's not what's important about Bartimaeus. What is important about Bartimaeus is how clearly he saw. And I don't mean how clearly he saw after receiving his vision back. I mean, what is important for us to understand is how clearly Bartimaeus saw before receiving his vision back. You see, as Jesus is walking through this town, he's getting ready to leave. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is there. And he goes and he asks him. And everybody else who's addressed Jesus has addressed him as teacher, good teacher, rabbi, or perhaps they've used his name as Jesus. But Bartimaeus rather specifically says, Jesus, son of David. Other people haven't used this address with Jesus yet. As he goes into Jerusalem, it's going to become something that is used more. But Bartimaeus is one of the first people to address Jesus this way. Why is that important? Well, obviously, Jesus is of the lineage of David. That's no secret. But you wouldn't call everybody of the lineage of David, son of David. First of all, that would be confusing. And second of all, most people would say, well, I thought that was Frank's son or Bob's son or Tim's son. Why are you saying son of David? Yeah, that's an ancestor. And the answer is because son of David was a messianic title that Israel and Jews were anticipating the coming of Messiah and that he would come from the house and lineage of David, that he would be a son of David. And so here is Bartimaeus, who visually cannot see, but spiritually is fully aware of the fact that Jesus isn't just any teacher or any rabbi or any son of a local carpenter. He's in fact the Messiah. And so when he addresses him as Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He recognizes Jesus' messiahhood. He sees the real Jesus. Now, we live in a world full of Jesus. The United States is full of Jesus, but I'm going to tell you all something right now. Much of it is not Jesus. I stumbled across a couple of Franciscan monks recently. They have a video series they do, where they review various different representations of Christianity in popular culture and give their thoughts on it. It's a great program. It's called Upon Friar Review, because, of course, Franciscan monks are called friars. And they're very funny. It's a young friar and an older friar. And more often than not, when they watch a movie or a TV show and see Christianity portrayed, the experience is them sort of looking at it, scratching their head, going, wow, I don't recognize that as Christianity. Worst of all, when they see Jesus portrayed, more often than not, in a movie, especially in popular culture, they find themselves scratching their head, saying, I don't know who this Jesus person is that they're describing. And I know that from my own personal experience, when I talk to someone who does not believe in God, especially does not believe in Jesus Christ, and I say to them, tell me about this God you don't believe in. Tell me about this Jesus you don't believe in. They'll tell me a story, oftentimes about abuse that happened within the life of the faith, that perhaps they came from a church where things were bad, where things were negative, there was horrible excesses in one way or another. Or they will tell me stories about how God is one way or God is another way, Jesus is one way or Jesus is another way. And I'll find myself scratching my head saying, well, I understand why you wouldn't believe in Jesus if that's who you thought he was, because that's an incredibly warped and distorted perception of God. More often than not, when I explain who Jesus is in the scriptures, who Jesus has been proclaimed by the church throughout the history of the church, who Jesus is who is being proclaimed by Christians worldwide, and logically who God is based on all of that information, they usually say to me, well, I would believe in that Jesus if that was the Jesus that I thought people believed in. But of course it is. We live in a world that distorts the image of God when it claims what it doesn't know about Christianity. And so we're constantly fighting an uphill battle of people who have seen a fake Jesus. We must be the people holding up the Son of David, showing to the world the true Messiah, because the world is not full of Bartimaeuses. Maybe that's why his name gets in the gospel account, because he is so remarkable that he has the vision, even in his blindness, to see Jesus' true nature. And the forethought and the faith to wait and to call out when he found the Jesus whom he knew was the Son of David, Messiah to save the world. We live in a world that needs to see the true Christ as Bartimaeus saw him. Unfortunately, Jesus is no longer walking around among us as an incarnate human being. It is up to us. We, the disciples of Jesus Christ, must paint for the world a picture so vivid that it will see the truth and be able to identify the lies by comparing it against the truth. We do this with how we live. We do this through how we treat others. And yes, we do this through proclaiming the truth that we ourselves have been given through the knowledge of the scriptures, mediated by the Holy Spirit, which we teach people through our words and the proclamation of what we know to be true. Sometimes I think Christians hope that if we're just good people, that the world will see us being good people and say, what marvelous people those Christians are. I can imagine in my mind what the God they worship must be like, and do so with great accuracy. But that's not true. That's not how life really works. Even if you're the best Christian you can be, in all likelihood, someone will simply look at you and say, what a nice person. They're not going to into the nature of God unless you speak the truth about the true nature of God and give people an accurate image of who Jesus Christ is with your words and your knowledge of Christ revealed through Scripture. We must be able to do both things equally well, because of course if we tell people about the Christ revealed through Scripture, but they see our actions and say, what a horrible person, that's also going to warp and distort our message. We must be able to do both if we want to take this world's blind people and show them a Christ that makes them say, Son of David, have mercy on me. So I say to you all this Sunday, live a life worthy of the calling that you have been given, for you have been given the very image of Christ. You've been baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have received his grace and forgiveness as a free gift. So now go and reflect that into the world you live in through deeds and words. Amen.